$1,000. Now, text the keyword cash to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's cash to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Now more.
Glenn Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. Opening day at Citi Field for the Mets. Good morning, Len. And wow, this is some sad news, though. Opening day and one of the great Mets players of all time, Rusty Staub, is dead at 73. Yeah. Would have been his birthday on Sunday, his 74th birthday on Sunday.
What a gut punch, because as we mentioned before, if you weren't with us, we had Josh Lewin, one of the Mets broadcasters, on. Everybody who knew Rusty loved him.
You knew him.
Oh, sure. But everybody in sports knew him. Just a great guy. Always with a smile. Always happy to help you out.
Big guy, 6'2", 250, 300 pounds.
Le Grand Orange. So named in Montreal. His charity work with the fire, Police and Fire, Widows and Children's Fund was magnificent. Just so much good stuff about him. Terry in the newsroom tracked down some audio of Rusty talking about his playing days.
I've had the pleasure for 23 years to come out here on a major league field and try to play major league baseball. The fans of every city that I've ever played in, I think, have appreciated my efforts, my determination, and the way I went about trying to represent this city.
Well, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, everyone did appreciate his efforts and how he represented the city. And, of course, the fire and the police. And, obviously, he was honored there at Shea Stadium and spoke to the crowd. But it's heartbreaking. Well, you know, I'm not saying that any death isn't. But Rusty just meant so much to so many fans, to so many people. He was a great ambassador for the game of baseball. Really.
And what were his skills out there on the field? What were you impressed by?
He was a big guy, but he was athletic. And you know, when he played in the field, and of course, he was a great pinch hitter. He could hit. The man could hit. You don't stay in the major leagues for 23 years if you can't hit. So he could mash pretty good. But
from New Orleans, he was born in New Orleans, and they named him Rusty practically when he came out of his mother's womb, because the nurse saw the red fuzz on his head, and they called him Rusty, and it stuck.
Well, and here's Rusty commenting on that great, great charity work he did with Police and Fire.
There are very few charities where the people that you're trying to do something for, you know, have made an ultimate sacrifice and given up their life. You know, with the policemen, the firemen, the Port Authority, and the EMS people, you know, they are dying in the line of duty to make the city of New York safer. And shouldn't there be something that we care about that says we're going to take care of their families for them anyway, a little bit?
So passionate. There was always an annual picnic out at the ballpark.
He was a gourmet chef. Yep. And a wine connoisseur. I mean, he lived a rich and full life, and I'm sure he will be honored and recognized.
Well, he will. There'll be a moment of silence today. It was originally scheduled for Ed Charles, the third baseman on the 1969 Miracle Mets, who passed away not too long ago, and also the firefighter who just lost his life. But this will be added to Rusty, and it'll be quite an emotional moment today during the pregame festivities.
So opening day for the Mets leads off our big three. Number two, of course, there's another exit in Trump land. Trump has pushed out the VA Affairs Secretary, Veteran Affairs Secretary David Shulkin. He is out, replaced by Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson. Just another day in Trump land of the revolving door. And also some Albany news. Ken Lovett from the Daily News was arrested for talking on his cell phone outside of the Senate chamber, even though they weren't in session. We talked to Ken earlier. He's now out of Alcatraz, and he'll be back on the beat, and I don't think he's going to be arrested again.
He handled it all in good spirits. He was our guest.
Yeah, he did. And Governor Cuomo offered to bail him out and whatnot.
So it was all handled in good cheer.
Yes, and an unhinged woman took a swing at Governor Cuomo at a news conference yesterday. That was a little bizarre. It was not Cynthia Nixon. We don't know the woman's name yet, but she was a little unstable and was mad about having to deal with some police and officials and all that sort of stuff. So a little crazy day. Day up in Albany. Yeah. But right now, let's check in with Alice Stockton-Rossini out there at Citi Field for the big day. Good morning, Alice.
How you guys doing? You know, it's such a great day here. We just saw Brandon Nemo walk by and Todd Frazier just walked in, and I'm here with Mets fans in the rain. It's like a misty day right now, and
hey,
you know, everybody's excited. And then I told them about Rusty.
Yeah, Fox. I was going to ask you, how was the reaction? What was the reaction?
You know, these guys are just standing here like, oh, my God, that's really sad. Even this guy, Mark, what are you, 10th grade? And you know the legacy of Rusty Staub.
He is the 1973 National League champion. He's a 1973 National League champion, one of the greatest Mets to ever play for our organization. He helped us reach the World Series in 73. Unfortunately, we lost. But then again, it's like, he's one of the greatest Mets. I mean, it's a terrible loss because a lot of fans out here love him. He's beloved. You know, it's tough. It's a tough loss today, you know. But my condolences go out to the Staub family. And,
this kid in 10th grade, you know. And then we have this, the Mets fans of all Mets fans, Matt Hui, who comes here every year, 36th opening day. He now lives in Florida. He flew up this morning, and he's devastated by the news of Rusty Staub's passing.
Yeah.
Good morning. Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. I just found out the news when I got off the plane. It was horrible.
And you've been to 36 opening days?
Yeah, 1983 was my first year.
So you saw Rusty play?
Yeah, I've seen him all. I've seen him all. You know, every year I've been here, no matter what.
All right, so I could speak about Rusty as a journalist, and I've met him. Your thoughts of Rusty as a fan?
My thought is he was an absolute gentleman, absolute great player and great person overall. He was great with the fans no matter what kind of mood and he was going on for the day and how he had his game and stuff like that. He was always preferable and nice with the fans.
Did you ever meet him? Did you ever have a chance to talk to him while you were hanging around?
Yes, plenty of times, yes.
So he was accessible?
Yes, absolutely. You can approach him, you can walk up to him. There was never a problem.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. Are you excited about this season?
Yeah, as long as we stay healthy, yeah.
A good old Mets fan. All right, thanks, pal.
Rusty had a constitution of iron, it would seem to me.
Yeah, he really did. So, Alice, you spoke to a bunch of people out there earlier, right?
I did, and you know what? Mickey Callaway. Everybody is excited about Mickey Callaway being so positive and so up about this season. Lots of high hopes for this season.
90 wins. Okay. Nice round number. I'm really worrying about focus on health. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just worried about health and staying healthy and having a great season.
We're looking for the pitching staff to stay healthy for a full season for once. That'd be a nice change of pace there. We haven't seen it yet for a full year, so hopefully we get it. Looks good so far in spring.
Okay.
Syndergaard, Harvey, DeGrom, they all look strong. So we'll see if it finally clicks for us.
All
right. Cespedes, if he can stay on the field. Him and Conforto, the lineup really just goes with those two guys. That's really it. It comes down to those two guys. If they're healthy, if they're in the lineup, they're in good shape. When they're out, it's not looking good.
You sense a common denominator every single fan. We got to be healthy. You got to stay healthy.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah. And then Matt, of course, he'll be back several times. I don't know what this guy. Matt, what do you do for a living, buddy? He's retired, obviously.
Okay.
He'll be coming back. Check it out.
All right. And you'll be flying in again.
Oh, yeah. I'm flying in on Star Wars night right before it and staying for Star Wars night. And then, of course, the Mets Yankee series.
Okay. Why Star Wars night?
I'm a Star Wars fan. Mr. Matt is going to dress up as Han Solo, so we shall see how that goes.
Going to keep that baseball on his head?
If he does, that'd be good, but he, as long as he's got Leia or Mrs. Matt with him, then we should be all right.
Star Wars night. Yeah, I can't wait.
Mrs. Matt, I hope she wears those giant Princess Leia English muffin hairdo wheels that she has.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta awesome. Have those on.
Mrs. Met just walked in. I didn't see Mrs. Met. She might be sleeping in this morning. I don't know.
Well, Alice, when you came on the air, you said you got drizzle and mist. What? We don't want that.
You know what? I was going to say, I couldn't wait for this live shot because I'm standing out here in just my vest. I have shed my winter coat. It's warm. It was really nice. And then all of a sudden, this mist moved in, and it's kind of rainy and just kind of yucky now, and I had to put my coat on, and I had to put my hat on, and everybody's got umbrellas, but it's okay. It's opening day. It's going to cool up. The sun's going to shine just in time for that first pitch. Mark my words.
All right. Alice, we are headed your way after our show. Len and I are going to be there at Citi Field to root for the Mets. So we'll see
all right,
you there.
I'll keep your seats warm.
All right. Yeah.
Can you dry.
Can you buy me some of those the new food that's got a lot of cheese and fried balls and whatnot in it?
I'll get you some fried balls.
Thanks, Alice.
I always count on Alice for that.
That's right.
That 10th grader who was talking about Rusty and Rusty Staub, who just passed away, and his memories of the 73 Mets. And here's what Rusty said about that World Series team.
The finest memory is a collective memory of guys who were in last place at the end of August who came together as a team. We had great pitching. I remember telling people at the end of August I said, you know, we're not out of it. We got Seaver, Matlack, Kuzman, and George Stone is pitching great, and Tug has found it. I said, we're not out of it.
Yeah. Wow.
They were. They had Yogi Berra as the manager. And
amazing times. Yeah. But they lost to Oakland, didn't they?
They lost to Oakland in seven. They had a 3-2 lead, and they lost. So
crushing.
You know.
But you knew him, and charismatic guy strikes me. Just, you know, we like Brandon Nimmo a lot. He's sort of carrying on the tradition of the charismatic Mets player.
That 73 Mets is where the most famous Yogi Berra quote came from. It's not over till it's over.
Oh.
And they were, Rusty said, they were in last place late in the season. And Yogi, you know, in his own inimitable way, you know, he said things like, when you come to a fork in the road, you take it.
Yeah. Of course.
It's like deja vu all over again. But his most famous quote from the 73 Mets when he was the manager, it ain't over
till
it's over.
It's over.
Well, unfortunately for Rusty Staub, it is over, and we are all saddened.
But
today,
we will be remembering him today. Opening day at Citi Field. Now, can the Mets pitching carry them to the playoffs? Here's hoping. And will the pitchers stay healthy? That is the big question. We want your thoughts on all things Mets. Give us a call at 1-800-321-0710 when we get back. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Bider.
On 710 WOR.
It is 8:24 in the morning, opening day, with a sad backdrop with the loss of Rusty Staub at the age of 73. He passed away, beloved former Met, and played for several other teams as well. But the La Grande Orange.
They called him up in Montreal.
No, it was really beloved. So we're going to take your phone calls here, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. Your thoughts on opening day, we welcome that. If you're a baseball fan and want to talk about the new season, give us a call. Or if you have memories or thoughts about Rusty Staub, we welcome your calls as well. 800-321-0710. Let's start with Gary in Newark. Good morning, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, Rusty was probably one of the first celebrity restaurateurs in New York with his restaurant. That was like a place to be, Rusty's Ribs. That was big.
It was. I remember being there. There would always be food competitions and cook-offs and things there.
Where was Rusty's Ribs in the city?
On the east side, somewhere.
Yeah, that was a place to be. And it's prophetic that he 73 was his year, and 73 was his year.
Oh, so. Good observation there,
there you
Gary.
Go.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
Gary. Appreciate
Mets.
Thanks for listening.
Gary. All right. Hey, Vernon, line three. Vernon, I think you're going to be at Citi Field today, right?
Yes, I am. Matter of fact, Lynn had taken a picture with me. Maybe 2 years ago, I was wearing a red fireman helmet.
Well, that's it. One picture per customer. You're out of luck today, Bert.
Well, today, if you see me there,
okay.
I will be wearing an orange Mets fireman helmet. It's very easy to
spot. Well, why don't you come by and say hi? We're going to be on the pregame show. Come by. We'll be on with Pete McCarthy about 11:45 outside the stadium, right by the train.
I will happily pose for a picture with you, Vernon.
Me too.
Thank you so much. I do remember Rusty Staub. Matter of fact, he was there at the stadium at Citi Field, and he was doing a signing of his photo. So people who got there early, they got the photo for free, and you got in line. And you walked in there, and there he was. So I do have a photo of me and him, and he's signing the photo. The Mets full staff took that and sent me the picture. So
that's nice.
Have me and Rusty together.
Fabulous.
Great, great player.
He was.
I love that guy.
Good guy. Come by and say hi, Vern, even with your orange hat on.
Well, we know who you will be, Vern.
We'll say hello.
Okay, I'll see you guys.
See you later, Vern. Let's go to Ed in New Jersey. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Len, you have to help me out. I know Rusty is the only player to have 500 hits with each of four major league teams. The Mets, Montreal, Detroit, but I forget the third one.
Houston. He started with Houston way back in the day.
You are right. You got it. The Houston Colt 45.
They were the Houston Colt 45s. It was right in the beginning. Yeah.
Yes.
That was right on the tip of my tongue, Ed.
He's a great guy, a great player, a great ambassador for Mets and Major League Baseball.
Absolutely, and I think everyone agrees with that, Ed. Thanks so much. Here's a little bit of Rusty talking about, playing when he did.
I'm actually very pleased I played in the era I did play in. I thought it was a great time for the game. And
he did make it to the 1973 World Series, and Rusty Staub did have a World Series home run.
It's an Indiana.
Voice of Lindsey Nelson, one of the original Met announcers with Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner.
Thrilling. All right, let's go to Joe on line two, listening on the iHeart app. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, that's a tough news about Rusty. I remember I went to the World Series with my dad when they played the A's in that fifth game in 1973. And I remember two things about that game. I remember Joe Rudy robbed Don Hahn of a home run. He leaped on the fence, and then also it was cold. You know, we were up in the upper level, but Rusty Staub always wore those shirt sleeves, right? He never wore an undershirt.
That's right. No, that's absolutely right.
It didn't matter if it was snowing or not.
He was well insulated. Well insulated.
Hey, Joe, where are you listening to us?
I'm in South Carolina. Moved out of New Jersey about 10 years ago, but I listen every day because you guys are great.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Miss you on Channel 4, too, as well, Lynn.
Thanks, pal. Very nice. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Listening on the iHeart app. That's very cool. Always nice to hear from those folks.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Mike in Southold. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Len, Michael.
Good morning, Mike.
Sad day for all Mets fans. I just wanted to tell you guys about 1985 when Rusty retired. He actually rode around the entire perimeter of the field with his mom, who was elderly at the time. And they were in an open, kind of like an antique car, you know, convertible, and they sat on the back, and the place went nuts. They just drove right around the perimeter of the field, and it was a nice send-off for Rusty. But I met him, and very gracious, just a real gentleman, and one of the clutch players of all the Mets.
Yeah, and talented. Sure. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, really. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And one of our listeners sent me an email reminding me that he could run the bases. I mean, he was a big guy, but he could run, he could field, he could throw. He was an all-around talent. Just wasn't a big hitter. He was a big hitter, but that wasn't his only attribute.
Big hitter.
He had lots of other attributes. All right, now's your chance to win my personal tickets to see the Mets take on the Phillies. This will be April 3rd at Citi Field with one of our upcoming guests at 9:10 will be Seth Lugo. He's going to be pitching that night. So call 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. You'll be the winner. What caller did I say? Did I give a number?
No.
I didn't.
Give it.
Oh, number four for Rusty
Staub?
Number
four for Rusty Staub. Okay. Good idea.
I was wondering why I left that blank. Four in memory of Rusty.
Everybody wins.
800-321-0710. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. Time for the latest news headlines. Good morning, Joe Bartlett.
Hello, Len. Rusty Staub, 4-13 in that 1973 World Series. I mean, that was a good series for him.
It really was.
4-13. That was pretty good. Cool. Right. Alrighty. In other news today, the Trump administration dismissing a report that claims a White House lawyer talked about pardons as part of the Russia investigation. The Times says former lawyer John Dowd had conversations with lawyers from Michael Flynn and Paul Manafort, who have both been charged. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says, not true.
I would refer you back to the statement from Ty Cobb in the report that you're asking about, in which he said, I've only been asked about pardons by the press and have routinely responded on the record that no pardons are under discussion or under consideration at the White House.
And the Times says it's not clear if a potential pardon could add to an obstruction of justice case that may be being built by the special prosecutor. Amazon shares fell 5% yesterday, wiping out more than $30 billion of market value after it was reported the president is obsessed with the world's largest online retailer and wants to rein it in. The president has talked about using antitrust laws to go after the company because he's worried about mom-and-pop retailers being put out of business by Amazon. Also wants to change Amazon's tax treatment. This is a report by Axios who said the issue the president raised publicly last year when he called for an internet tax on online retailers would affect Amazon, even though it does collect a tax on some items.
All Jeff Bezos has to do is put the art of the deal at number one on Amazon, and Trump is not going to bother him anymore.
Did you see Trump's tweet this morning about that? Did you mention?
Yeah, I haven't, no.
He said, I have stated my concerns with Amazon long before the election. Yeah. Unlike others, they pay little or no taxes to state and local governments, use our postal system as their delivery boy, causing tremendous loss to the U.S. and are putting many thousands of retailers out of business. Not to mention, he didn't mention in his tweet about the Washington Post,
and
which
Bezos
is owned by Bezos.
That'll drive the stock down a little more in a second.
Sure.
Governor Cuomo got an earful in Albany yesterday. He bailed out reporter Ken Lovett, who got arrested for talking on his cell phone. But then, as he was talking about this, he was confronted by, well, an unhinged woman.
Yeah, you're not doing nothing either, you punk ass. You're not doing a
apparently, there was a disagreement.
There's corruption going on here. They're stealing money.
There was a disagreement between.
Interesting thing about a politician, you can have that going on in front of you and not even
pay attention. He kept talking. He kept addressing the Ken Lovett story, the reporter who was arrested, Deborah, and he kept addressing that while she's screaming.
I know, he thought she was Cynthia Nixon.
I think so.
Was somebody there?
Hit him with her Louboutin shoes.
Today is National Vietnam War Veterans Day. The Defense Department observing the holiday with a wreathling ceremony at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington. The Blackstone V-shaped walls inscribed with the names of more than 58,000 servicemen and women.
Been to that wall many times. It's one of the most moving experiences you will have on a trip to Washington, D.C. And especially to see people, they go up to the names of loved ones and stencil them and whatnot. Yeah.
So President Trump signed the Vietnam War Veterans Recognition Act 1 year ago today.
Oh, this 1 year. All right. Thanks, Joe B. Coming up, a former senator is backpedaling after saying that students should learn CPR instead of marching. And we have disturbing video of a former New York senator. Wait, you hear this one.
This is tough to take, this stuff.
Coming up next, plus your next chance at $1,000 at 9:05 here on 710 WOR. But first up, time to check out the traffic and Bernie Viter.
A very good Thursday morning to you at 8:41. Just a little bit of a breaking news here. You should be aware of a smoke condition at the World Trade Center has shut down the PATH service. So smoke at the World Trade Center. We have no more information than that, but it shut down the PATH service. And as we gather more information, we will be reporting it to you.
We will. If you haven't heard the sad news today on opening day, Rusty Staub has passed away. Beloved Met, baseball ambassador, chef, charity man.
A wine connoisseur, too.
Everything, yeah.
He was 73. Great life. Rusty was a
great guy. Also, we'd like to congratulate Kevin Delia. Monroe, Connecticut, won my personal Mets seats. Now, tomorrow morning at 7:30, we'll have some Mets tickets. Then at 8:30, the resumption of our Mets Turning Point contest. You have to listen to the post-game show this afternoon with Wayne Randazzo. He'll tell you the turning point, and the first caller who correctly identifies that turning point at 8:30 tomorrow morning will win more Mets tickets.
And I'll be weighing in on what I think was the turning point of today's
game. You are the last person we are going to ask. Trust me.
I guess when he
Point for him, yeah.
When he hit that ball over the fence, that was a turning point, right? Yeah.
Turning point for Mike will be the seventh inning stretch.
All right. All right, here we go. Rick Santorum, former senator.
Right.
He's on CNN right after the march, the kids marched on Washington, advocating for gun control. And Rick Santorum doesn't think the kids should be agitating for gun control. He thinks, Len, they should be learning CPR instead because somebody's got a bullet in them. Oh, that CPR is going to come in handy to save their lives. So this is what he initially said on CNN.
How about kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, do something about maybe taking CPR classes or trying to deal with situations that where there is a violent shooter that you can
actually respond to that? How are they looking at other people?
CPR. He's trying
How about Santorum taking an IQ test?
Well, he's trying to make the point rather than asking other people to help you, but you have to ask other people if you want them to pass laws. I
mean, well, there was a real blowback of those comments, and all of a sudden, Santorum, I think he thinks he may have misspoke.
The fact of the matter is I did misspeak and using the term CPR, and I think Sanjay Gupta's job here at CNN is probably safe as being the medical commentator on things.
He worked on that joke all night long, I guarantee you. But when he says he misspoke, what did he intend to say? He doesn't say what he intended to say. You know that he meant to say what he said, learn CPR instead of protesting guns.
Let's see if he fleshes this out decently or just digs a deeper hole.
What we've seen from all of these mass shootings is that the things that have come out, the positive things that have come out of these mass shootings, are organizations and people who have actually focused on what we can do at our individual schools and communities to actually prevent these types of things. Things like Rachel's Challenge or even Sandy Hook Promise and other organizations that have said, what can we do in our community to, you know, promote mentoring, to stop bullying, mm-hmm. to be more aware of the problems.
And to learn CPR, too.
I don't know. So anyway, Rick, I'm surprised he was back on. He was back on with Chris Cuomo.
You think they would have canceled his contract for doing the CPR routine?
Or just giving him a little break. take a breath.
Yeah, so he could come up with better polished lines there. So, well, Rick Santorum, a genius. Hey, this is Natalie, our producer, sent me this video last night, Len, of Al D'Amato in the hospital with his estranged wife. She's in the hospital.
Well, she was in the hospital. He was visiting.
He was visiting, yeah. Video's up on our website.
At 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. But he and his wife are going through a nasty
custody battle.
And
the wife is in the hospital. She was in a car accident. She had neck surgery. So she's in the hospital bed. D'Amato's there, and they are going at it. And she is filming.
She takes the video, and she made it public. So this is obviously all trying to make her case.
And her lawyer is saying they're going to use it.
You won't talk to me. You talk to me about that thing. Call him up and ask him. No. Yeah. I know. Poor abused girl. Bull crap. I'm sick and tired of being treated like nothing. I am. Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong.
She's the one who bleeped out, obviously, the curses. And they have two kids, a 10-year-old son, 8-year-old daughter. So Al had a son at 70, daughter at 72. And right now he has temporary custody.
Yeah.
But I don't know is this really going to help her case by releasing this video?
It does sound harrowing. And, you know, Senator Pothole sounds like Senator A-hole there. But on the other hand, she did tape it for a long time. And her lawyer immediately has said they are going to be using it in the court proceedings. So you do have to wonder, was she goading him on? Was she trying to set him up to do it? I don't know. But it looks pretty ugly for him.
You want to get rid of me, you will.
Please stop.
That's what you want to
please
do.
Please stop. Yeah. Please stop. Please.
I don't believe anything.
Please stop. Please
I don't believe
stop.
Anything you say anymore. I don't. You don't love me.
Fine. Go. Please stop. I can't.
Let me just ask you something. How credible. Now, she's doing the filming.
Yeah.
And she's crying hysterically.
I know. Well, she's
so
filming.
Isn't a lawyer going to say, wait a second, you're so distraught and you're falling apart? Oh, but you have the presence of mind to tape this thing?
Our lawyer will say she can multitask. That's what the lawyer will say. But yeah, and I agree with you. There's something a little suspicious there. But D'Amato, clearly, I mean, if you know anything about D'Amato, you know the guy does have a temper.
Well, he does. Yeah. You know, you were mentioning the kids marching before.
Yeah.
And I know there's been a lot of blowback against this student from Parkland named David Hogg.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he's been front and center. He's been accused of being an actor, a grandstander. You said at times in his style of speech, he goes over the top.
He's not an actor. I just think he's in love with the limelight a little too much.
So he was rejected by 4 colleges in California to the delight of Laura Ingraham on Fox, who took shots at him on Twitter, which I think is kind of tacky, if you ask me.
Yeah, shouldn't be going after the high
really,
school.
Really, you're going to gloat over the fact he didn't get into these 4 colleges. So now Hogg is calling for a boycott of all advertisers for Laura Ingraham. So take that, Laura. You're messing with the wrong kid.
Oh, there's Hogg again. Once again, hogging the spotlight. I told you this kid is in love with seeing himself on television. All right.
But she shouldn't have done that.
I agree with that. Right. Hey, a pizza problem from some Jersey City cops. You're not going to believe what they did to a guy who didn't give them their pizza. It's really unbelievable. And a pit bull attack causes a woman to lose an ear. Yuck. That's coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Biden.
WOR.
And good morning, everyone. At 8:54, it is Mets opening day, and it's tinged with sadness, the passing of the great Rusty Staub.
73 years old.
Age of 73, you know. So coming up after the top of the hour, we're rescheduling things around based on availability. Right now, and this is subject to change, Howie Rose, the voice of the Mets, will join us at 9:10. And Seth Lugo, the fifth starter for the Mets, who will pitch against the Phillies next Tuesday night, he'll join us at 9:23.
Right.
Just don't hold us to it, because things change, you know.
We're juggling Mets. We're juggling balls in the air.
That's what we're doing. Well,
that's it.
How about these New Jersey police officers from Jersey City? They're upset that their pizza was delayed, so they went and roughed up the manager. Is this unbelievable? Channel 4 obtained this exclusive video of the confrontation.
Sir, remove your hand.
Sir,
remove your hand.
Sir, put your hands down.
So they push the manager up against... What are they, crazy?
Police brutality over pepperoni.
Push the manager, Mina Carolus, up against the wall.
He was yelling at my drivers. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but he was cursing at them. That's what they told me after.
This is the manager, Mina.
What can I do? Because after he's a police officer, I can't do anything back.
Well, he does want one thing, though.
I don't like being cursed at. I don't like being touched at all. I only demanded an apology.
Not demand an apology.
I have a feeling he's going to get more than an apology. Well, he's going to get a lawyer, and he's going to get something else.
These new two New Jersey police officers from Jersey City have been suspended.
Pending an investigation.
Well, that's just terrible.
Pizzagate.
Yeah.
Terrible. You can't behave like that. But, you know, I love the police, put their lives on the line every day for us. But every now and then, some of that power goes to their heads. I guess it went to their heads here when their pizza wasn't delivered
their pizza.
On time. That's right. So, hey, a grandmother had her ear bitten off by a dog. She was trying to protect her kids in New York City playground from this pit bull, and the pit bull went right for the woman's ear and chomped her ear off.
Where's that? What
playground?
She's
got hand injuries. Doesn't say what a Bronx playground, but it doesn't say which one.
Okay.
But she was trying to protect the kids, and the pit bull went right at her, chomped her ear off. Yeah, can't be biting grandma's ear here.
Is this Althea Woodson?
I don't have her name here, but it could be Althea Woodson, yes. Dog was captured after the attack, and the animal's owner was detained by police. Charges are pending in the case.
Here's Althea Woodson.
They were playing, and the dog got away from the girl, I guess, and it came right to me more than it started attacking me.
That was at the East Chester houses.
Wow, she's obviously upset, but the dog came
upset.
At her,
yeah, the dog
chomped her ear.
Bit her ear right off. Eww.
Well, we have a bunch of people who witnessed the event.
They let him off the leashes like it's free. One day I was coming through here, this man has two pit bulls right behind us, and the dogs were coming at me.
Oh, those pit bulls are vicious.
This is a crazy dog.
That put pit
playground?
Yeah, that pit bull is not long for this world, I think. But the charges go against the owner of the dogs and stuff like this happens.
It bit her face up, her arm. They say it bit her ear completely off. I thought the dog had bit her grandchildren because the way she was holding it. And then when the dog let go, she just seen her wrist is just like dangling.
Well, ouch. She's a feisty grandma, though, protecting her kids from the mad dog, a foaming at the mouth dog. Can't be biting grandma's ear. Come on.
This could be another issue for Cynthia Nixon, though, because in the housing, this is a NYSHA housing complex, and they're saying that dogs like that are not supposed to be allowed, but nobody ever enforces this law, you know, this rule that dogs over a certain weight shouldn't be in the apartments.
And they're apparently not on the leash when they go to the playground.
Yep, and they're saying it's kind of a common thing.
Get on it, Cynthia Nixon.
All right.
Another bat to hit the gov with.
And in West Nyack, New York, I have some advice. If you're a teacher's aide, leave your gun at home. This 24-year-old Jillian Jeffords was taken into custody. They spotted a handgun in her purse.
Wow.
Which was stored inside a classroom closet, and they told the principal, and they told the police.
At no point was this weapon used in a threatening manner, or at no point was this weapon displayed.
Well, that's a good thing. This is at in West Nyack at the Jesse J. Kaplan School.
As a gun owner, and especially somebody who has a permit for a weapon, you're responsible and you should know what you can and can't do under that weapon.
So, you know, you're not allowed to carry a weapon.
Just threw a gun on school property.
Just
threw it in her bag on the way to work?
Okay, sure, why not?
The classrooms, most of them, thank God the time of day, were vacant because the buses were in transit.
All right. So good. So obviously, nobody was threatened or anything, but...
No.
Why would a 24-year-old be carrying a handgun in her purse?
Well, I do
think taking it to a school.
I do think we should have security officers trained in the use of firearms guarding our kids in the school, but probably not a woman who tosses the gun in her purse on her way to
work.
Well,
here's the story. Police say that she has a permit to carry the weapon, but it is a felony to bring it onto school grounds.
On school grounds.
Right, into two states, apparently, New York and Pennsylvania, she has permit.
Okay, so she has the permit to carry, which is not easy to come by.
No,
but you just
no.
can't bring it on school grounds.
No, no. And very, very quickly, these cab drivers who are killing themselves.
No, hold that thought.
Okay, yeah.
We'll get to that after the top of the hour because they had a rally yesterday.
They had a rally,
we'll talk
yeah.
about the cabbies.
Serious issue.
Coming up, we'll have Howie Rose, the voice of the Mets. We're getting ready for opening day. He'll join us. He'll be on the phone as he heads to Citi Field. And your next chance is $1,000 coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR. Now the news.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone, on opening day of the baseball season. Even good morning to you, Michael Riedel.
What, shortly, even good morning to me?
We're gonna
even
be,
good morning to me?
We're going to be heading out together to Citi Field.
Haven't you had enough of me? You've been with me for 4 hours.
Well, but never enough, and we'll be going for opening day. We'll join Howie and Josh in the booth briefly if they let us in there, if they don't lock the door. You and I will be on with Pete McCarthy about 11:45 outside yep. the stadium at the WOR booth. If fans want to drop by and say hello as you get off the train, we'll be on the left, of course, not the right.
Quickly, I'll be on the right.
Quickly, our big three. Opening day is tinged with sadness as fan favorite Rusty Staub has passed away at the age of 73. Also in a big three, another one bites the dust in Trump's cabinet. This is the Veterans Affairs guy. And there's some chatter apparently in the White House about pardons for a couple of the president's men. Is any of that legitimate?
All denied by Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
And rounding out the big three, a wacky day in Albany. A Daily News reporter got arrested. He was with us earlier and took it all in good nature. Can't love it.
He's fine.
Anyway, the governor came to his rescue, but while the governor was there, this crazy lady was screaming. It was nuts. I can't begin to tell you. We'll play a little bit of that audio later. But first, without further ado, the voice of the Mets, Howie Rose. And Howie, we're all going to be so excited about opening day, and then we get hit like a ton of bricks, the news of Rusty Staub passing away.
Yeah, you know, it really was like a ton of bricks, even though he'd been sick for a while. Last night at the welcome home dinner, the word I was getting was that he was slowly improving, that it was going to be a long process, but hopefully that the worst had been over. And sadly, he suffered a massive coronary in the middle of the night. And so on opening day, we mourn the passing of one of the all-time Mets favorites.
Your thoughts, your favorite memory? I know there's lots. I mentioned earlier, and we had Josh Lewin on as well, your partner in crime. And we're talking about the fact, always had a smile on his face and always just such an upbeat individual.
I just remember how tirelessly he worked to make the lives of other people in this community better, far transcending anything that he did on the field. The personal involvement, you know, a lot of people start foundations and charities and, you know, they basically lend their names to it and have very little involvement beyond that. Rusty was as hands-on as you can be in helping to make the lives a little bit brighter for widows and children of firefighters and policemen who were lost in duty, and had so many other charitable endeavors that he sought no publicity, no thanks for, but just worked day and night to enrich the lives of others. And when I think of Rusty, it's not even in a baseball uniform. It's among the people doing whatever he can to make their lives somehow just a little bit better. He was a true humanitarian, and in a business where I think we use the word hero far, far, far too often to the point of being absolutely irresponsible relative to sports people, Rusty and what he's done in this town was a true New York hero.
Yeah, Howie, we had a caller on when we were talking about Rusty who said that he met him several times. He was totally accessible to the fans, took his time to talk to the fans, sign autographs. A different era. I mean, a lot of these players live in the bubble now, and you can't get anywhere near them. But Rusty seemed to just enjoy being a regular guy that anyone could talk to.
He was as blue-collar as it gets, and he was a Mets ambassador right until the very end. Even in years when his health had at times failed him, he still managed to come up from Florida 2-3 times a year and work around the ballpark, meeting people, and whether it was just handing out a prize for a between-innings contest that might have run on the scoreboard, or just chatting with people. That's what Rusty was all about. He was a people person all the way.
Yeah. Now, part of the pregame festivities, which, by the way, you will be hosting on the field, as always, as the voice of the Mets, but there will be a moment of silence, and it was originally scheduled for Ed Charles and the FDNY.
Michael Davidson.
Michael Davidson, who passed away, and now, of course, with Rusty Staub, it should be quite an emotional moment.
It will be, and it's just, you know, the circle of life, right, guys? I mean, 1969 is 49 years ago now. We lost the glider just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Rusty, a big part of that 1973 pennant, has passed, and it's sad. It is, as I say, reality, but sometimes reality is a very tough pill to swallow, and the death of Rusty Staub today is one of those.
Yeah, I have such fond personal memories. I ran into him in New York all the time, saw him in Florida and Palm Beach. Anyway, it is opening day, and obviously we won't let you get away without your feelings of the new season opening and your thoughts as we approach the 2018 campaign.
Very optimistic, Len. There's a different energy around this club now. It certainly has a lot to do with the changes in the dugout, particularly with the manager, Mickey Callaway, who's young and energetic and yet can be tough when he needs to be, as he proved very early in the spring when he sat Dominic Smith down for showing up a couple of minutes late. I think he is going to prove his mettle very quickly as a leader. Tactically and strategically, that remains to be seen. He's never managed before, but he did a great job this spring in delegating with his bench coach, Gary DeSarcina, with his pitching coach, Dave Island. And, you know, I think right now, as long as this team is healthy, there's more than enough talent there to ensure, again, given health, which is the one thing we don't control, that this team could have a real good season.
What do you think about Callaway's lineup for today, Howie?
Well, it's interesting. I know that he's not going to hit the pitcher ninth. Noah Syndergaard will bat eighth. Ahmed Rosario will hit ninth. That's something he's not going to do all the time. But I think the other surprise, apart from that, and it would be a mild surprise, I suppose, but that's that Kevin Plawecki is going to be the starting catcher. Mickey said yesterday he likes the way Kevin profiles against Carlos Martinez, the Cardinals starter, a little bit more than he does with Travis, and that's how he's going to decide from day to day who does the catching.
And you have Yoenis Cespedes batting second. Interesting.
Yeah, all designed to hopefully get him some at-bats. Again, this is hand-in-hand, too, with Rosario hitting ninth, the hope that he'll be able to get on base, utilize some speed, couple of guys on base for Cespedes. And we've seen it now, Chris Bryant in Chicago, another example where a lot of managers have started to use what would be the prototype 3 and 4 hitters in the two hole for just that reason. One thing you're not looking for him to do is just hit the other way and get the runner over. You're looking for him to drive a run home.
That's for sure. And, of course, Aaron Judge for the Yankees today on their opening day in Toronto. He's going to bat second. Hey, Howie, before you run, you know, the last couple of years you have allowed me into the broadcast booth for a couple of moments. You talked to us. You even let me call a batter. I don't know. Are you letting Riedel and me in this year?
You know, you guys watched the show, I'm sure Michael did, because it was a Broadway show before it was a TV hit, The Odd Couple.
Of course, I know it well.
You remember the episode where Howard Cosell was the co-star?
Yes.
And Felix somehow finds his way into the booth.
Yes.
Tries to do play-by-play.
Yes.
No gain, but a lesson for us all. I don't know. I'm thinking Riedel and Felix Unger in the booth today. What do you think?
You have got my number, Howie. That's it. Exactly.
Just point which way the field is. That's all you have to do.
Just tell me who's right, playing.
Watch how elegantly the umpire dusts off home plate. You'll love it.
There you go.
Thanks, Howie.
Howie, always a pleasure. We'll see you soon up in the broadcast booth.
All right, guys. Look forward to it.
All right. Take it easy, Howie.
Howie does such a great job. His knowledge of Mets history. I mean, he was a fan. I mean, he sat in the upper deck as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's been to more opening days. His history is just, he knows the Mets better than anybody.
And yeah.
So you just wind him up, and he'll tell you everything you want to know about every Met.
Well, I will be eager to learn at the foot of Howie Rose today.
Before the break, you know, we started to mention the story, and we're making a left-hand turn here, but
so to speak, the
taxi cab and the livery cab, and it's turned into a real tragic story. Now we've lost four yellow cabbies drivers
four,
to suicide.
Four yellow cab drivers have committed suicide because, Len, they can't make a living driving a cab anymore because of the competition from Uber and Lyft and these e-hail services. You know, once upon a time, a taxi medallion in the it was worth something like $1 million. It's not even worth $100,000 today.
Wow.
And these cab drivers, they had a rally. They had mock coffins symbolizing the deaths of the drivers, the four drivers who committed suicide. And it's becoming an issue for these guys. They're working class people, got the taxi cab going, and the Uber and Lyft services are not regulated. They can just do whatever they want to, and they've cut into the business of the taxi cab. You know, I'm a capitalistic free market guy. I think the cabs have to adjust to the competition, but they're slow to do it.
This is Councilman Barry Grodinchik.
There is not a level playing field in the city of New York for for hire vehicles.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is he proposing?
I don't know. I mean, they'd have to loosen up the regulations on the yellow cab drivers so they can compete fairly against Uber and Lyft. You're not going to be able to, you know, ban Uber and Lyft from the city. That is not a workable solution to it. But you can lift up the regulations of the taxi cab drivers.
This is Bhairavi Desai. He's with the New York Taxi Workers Alliance.
There is a sense of growing despair among drivers across this city.
Well, yeah.
They're going to have more competitive rates. I mean, this is why people will take Uber. One, it is convenient, although it's not too hard to flag a cab in New York City, which I try to do often. Yeah. But they're going to be more competitive with the rates that they charge.
Well, and what happened was that I think the fourth suicide turned out to be a medallion owner,
yeah,
which is the first time that's happened. But you were right. I mean, people were trading those. That was, I think, the fellow who passed away or took his own life, the medallion owner, was saying that was going to be his retirement,
yep,
that was his life,
yep,
and now it's just
worthless,
frittered away.
Worthless. Yeah. You know? So it used to be like New York City real estate, and now it's junk. You pick a medallion up at a second-hand shop. That's what's going on.
I would think most would agree something has to be done.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do something.
You can support taxi cab drivers, too. It's not that difficult, guys, to hail a yellow taxi cab here in the city.
Except when you need one. I shouldn't say that, but
I never have trouble getting a cab.
Really, even crunch time, Yeah,
I've always had good luck with them. And by the way, I like the cab drivers. You can have a great conversation with a real New Yorker who's driving a cab.
Right, ones who speak English. Yep,
Alan.
Unless you speak,
let's not disparage our immigrants.
Well, I didn't know you knew Pakistani and Indian.
But they're the most. Those guys are interesting too because you find out what life is like around the world when you have a conversation with your taxi cab drivers.
Well, coming up, Seth Lugo, the pitcher, had a breakout performance in spring training. He earned the fifth spot in the Mets' vaunted pitching rotation. We are going to talk to him live from Citi Field and your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 10:05 here on 710 WOR. First, let's check out the traffic conditions with Bernie Viter.
WOR.
Good morning, everybody. At 9:24, a quick little update on that fire, smoke at the World Trade Center. The fire has been extinguished. The PATH service has resumed, but it's pretty crowded and there are delays, but the PATH trains are working again. So, all right. And on the line with us for opening day at Citi Field, we have Seth Lugo, Mets pitcher. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Well, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
Butterflies in the stomach for the big day?
Oh, I'm very excited. Been looking forward to this for a while now.
Yeah. So you've been around spring training with the team. How do you think you're going to do today?
I think we're going to do really well. We've got a great group of guys. I'm excited to see us get out there and play together. I have a very good feeling about this year. I'm very excited.
Well, you should be excited. I don't want to put words or thoughts in your mind, but you battled for the fifth starter spot. You obviously have the four studs, and Syndergaard goes today, and then you got DeGrom and Harvey and Mats. But fifth start, you know, I guess the media was kind of anointing Zach Wheeler, and he's not with the team, and you had to fight Robert Gazelman, and you emerged as the guy. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I had a good spring. There was a lot of things mechanically that I was working on that really clicked, especially towards the end of camp. But I was feeling good and I was healthy, so that was the biggest thing. And then after that, you know, just go out and do my thing. So very proud and pleased to make the starting rotation.
Seth, all the fans are concerned about injuries. What are you doing to assure us that you're going to keep yourself fit and in good health this season?
Well, I'm putting in the work. I'm staying, making sure I stay in the gym and stay strong and stay flexible. And really, that's the key. Eat right and take care of my body. So that's all I can do. Just go out there and play and see what happens.
We're on with Seth Lugo, fifth starter for the Mets. So he'll be pitching Tuesday against the Phillies at Citi Field. And Seth, You have a pitching coach in Dave Island, and I heard, you know, you just briefly touched on mechanics and things you worked on in spring training. What has he helped you with?
Well, this spring actually was pretty smooth. I didn't have too much instruction, you know. Really, we talked about mostly was just using my curveball more. And, you know, I was able to actually figure it out early in spring, you know, where the arm slot was and where I wanted to throw it pretty easily. So that was good. I didn't have to have too much instruction. But on the other hand, you know, we got three pitching coaches on the team.
You do?
With Mickey, you know. So it's great, you know. It's going to be a fun season with all those guys, and it's good assurance knowing if you need some work, there's plenty of guys to help you out.
Well, just briefly, I mean, Matt Harvey is all for him. Very effusive about the. He says you're going to shock a lot of people. I mean, you've got those four guys in front of you. I mean, this could shape up to be just a sensational starting rotation, Seth.
Yes, I agree. You know, we got Noah going today. I'm very excited to see what he's going to do, and you know, everybody else. It's going to be an exciting season. I know that.
Yeah, you're a young guy, Seth, of course. But your thoughts on the passing of Rusty Staub, legendary Met player?
Oh yes, I read that on my way in today. That's very sad. You know, I didn't grow up watching Mets, being from Louisiana, so you know, it's new for me to hear about these guys that are such great players in the past. But, you know, it's very sad.
Well, Rusty was a Louisianan, so...
yeah, he was. He was from New Orleans.
One of your peeps. Hey, Seth, lots of good luck. We'll be watching, and we thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Good luck, Seth. Take care.
Seth Lugo. Now, speaking of Rusty Staub, he was on with Wayne Randazzo not too long ago, and Wayne conducted a tremendous interview with him.
Well, nobody's going to be held endearing if you didn't play well. You can be the nicest person in the world, but you have to play well. So I was able to do that two different times when I was here. I was a part of the community. I started all these things, and it's really when you have the kind of platform I had and the excitement the people had following the team and me being a big cog in it, to be able to return that to a city that's been so good to you, people feel that.
Rusty Staub passing on opening day at the age of 73. This may have been one of his last interviews with Wayne Randazzo on our staff. And Wayne asked him about his health.
Well, being as I survived death, I'm doing okay. I'm on borrowed time in a way, but I'm trying to do as best I can to take care of myself and not overdo some things. I'm a pretty busy guy, and I do try to at least breathe every once in a while. It's you know, you can't let, you know, I've hit like so many friends not even here anymore, and everybody has issues. You just, you know, you got to understand that that's part of life. So you deal with those issues and you go forward. That's all I'm trying to do every day, do something good.
A smile to your face, even
upbeat,
in passing.
Optimistic guy. Did you ever see him at Rusty's Ribs? You went to Rusty's.
I did. I was over there.
Was he there regularly?
Yeah. He would hang out and he'd, you know, greet the fans, and he had contests and cooking things there. By the way, that interview was after he had a heart attack, so he had health issues. But rest in peace, Rusty. Just a great guy, and there'll be a moment of silence.
He will be remembered today at Citi Field. All right, and now let's go to Joe Bartlett with the 9:30 news. Good morning, Joe.
Michael. All right. Let's see where the market is this morning. I'm not even going to ask you, Len. It's up. Although it doesn't really matter, does it?
Oh, I guess not. Does it matter what I think?
Not for Len.
No, but not only that. I mean, it's been up 100 points at the beginning and then closes down
at
the end of the day. So
wow.
We're starting today up 125 points for the Dow, 12 plus for the S&P, and up 36 on the NASDAQ. Well, speaking of stocks, Amazon took a hit yesterday. The stock has dropped about 5% after reports that President Trump was going to go after the internet giant and its owner, Jeff Bezos, who also owns the Washington Post.
Uh-huh. Also, by the way.
The president tweeted this morning that he has concerns about Amazon because he says they, quote, pay little or no taxes to state and local governments, and that the company causes losses to the U.S. Postal Service. Amazon's shipping positive revenue source for the Postal Service, though. All of this started with a story by Axios, citing sources who said the president was obsessed with Amazon because his real estate buddies have told him Amazon's destroying shopping malls and brick-and-mortar stores.
Joe, they do use the post office, though, right? So the idea...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's I did say that.
You know, no, I know you did.
Positive revenue.
Right.
But that's... The president doesn't like that.
And let the president know that his postal service does.
I'll let him know.
And they are killing independent bookstores, and I'm sure you know that Trump is a big shopper at independent bookstores.
Big reader. Especially when things are in capital letters and have cartoons.
And pop-ups.
The president called Roseanne Barr last night to congratulate her on her successful revival. 18.4 million viewers.
That is astonishing. Network shows never attract that many viewers in this day and age.
That is 10% more than the finale of the show drew in 1997.
Wow. That's interesting.
Roseanne Barr, of course, seen as a Trump supporter, plays one on the show, and she tells Good Morning America today she was happy to get the president's call.
Well, it was pretty exciting, I'll tell you that much. They said... hold, please, for the President of the United States of America. And, that was about the most exciting thing ever. And it was, just very, very sweet of him to congratulate us.
She also says she hopes her show opens up civil conversations by providing examples of conflict resolution and agreeing to disagree.
Well, someone emailed me, and they made the point that, there are a lot of conservatives saying, well, this is great, this is a big triumph for conservatism, but someone emailed me to say the great part about the show is they show both sides.
Yes.
So it's
with humor. Yes. With humor.
Which is good. Yeah. Which is what we try to do. Rita doesn't succeed at it, but we try to do that on occasion on this show.
Occasions.
I'm the one with the jokes around here, Lynn.
Wouldn't that be a great call to get? Please stand by. Please hold for the President of the United States.
You ain't getting that call ever, Len. I can assure you. That's not coming your way. No chance on that one, Len.
Probably not.
Well, you did get one. Hello, Len.
Hello, Len.
Hello, Len.
Right. I don't know if Riedel's ever heard that.
Yeah. He did get a hello from...
Hello, Len. How are you, Len?
That's the President. That's real.
That's not fake Trump?
No. Listen.
Hello, Len. How are you, Len?
We had he was called for jury duty, and Alice Stockton Rossini, of course, was on the steps.
Absolutely.
And she yelled out... say hello. Say hello to Len.
Hello, Len. How are you, Len?
And Donald Trump did, so there you go.
Yeah, so he would say something else to you now if he got
I'm
a
not
chance
sure.
to speak
That's
to you.
What
he'd
say now?
Yeah. Exactly. That's right, exactly. Hey, stick around. We've got news on a bizarre device that could actually help you eat healthier, but it is a weird one. And this is the weirdest story of the day. This is one chicken you don't want on your dinner plate. Trust me, I'm just going to tell you, it can't balk anymore, all right? So that's coming up next. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR.
After 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan, work there, go to school there, or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? If you were in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002, and have you been diagnosed with cancer? Well, if you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion, with a B, dollars for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them. 400 million-dollar cases. If you were a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now have cancer, call him. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125.
And now let's go to Bernie Biter and check up on the traffic.
At 9:40, it is opening day for baseball in New York. The Mets are hosting St. Louis. First pitch scheduled for 1:10. Our pregame show here on 710 WOR. Actually, the festivities begin with Pete McCarthy, then Wayne Randazzo. That all begins at 11:30. Michael and I will be on live at Citi Field with Pete McCarthy around 11:45 at the WOR booth that's outside the stadium.
Yep.
As you exit from the 7 train or the Long Island Railroad, we will, of course, be on the left.
You will be on the left.
And
I will be drifting towards the right.
Okay, as usual.
Sent with Roseanne Barr.
So we'll see you there.
And Howie Rose is contemplating, thinking about allowing me up into the broadcast booth.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that.
I might, like Felix Unger did with Howard Cosell.
I think
he
changed his mind already. It's done.
I was going to call a couple of plays.
Well, not a couple. He usually lets, he usually lets me do one batter. My only tip to you is, because you'll do it with me, is when the guy's actually, you know, there's a guy throwing the baseball. He's the pitcher.
Right, and he's on the mound?
Yeah, on the mound. Yeah, okay. Not the bump. I can't believe some sportscasters say he's on the bump.
They call it the bump, really?
Ah, some guy. The cliches drive me nuts.
How ignorant can you be?
No, but they're cliches in sports that drive me nuts.
Yeah.
On the bump. No, he's on the mound. Pitcher's mound. Anyway, when he's throwing the ball, that's when you let the play-by-play person take over. You could chatter before or in between pitches.
I thought I was going to be the play-by-play person.
Well, maybe. All right.
So he throws the ball, and then I have to shut up. That's what you're telling me.
That's what I'm telling you. Okay. But right now, don't shut up, because you're going to tell me about this absolutely wacky story, which I think is disgusting. You're so excited by this.
I wasn't excited. I found this story this morning when I got up. This is not a story that you want to read when you get up, but you've heard of a, you know, running around like a chicken without a head cut off. Yeah.
Well, there is
a chicken running around without a head, and it's been running around now for 9 days. There are pictures on our website if you have the stomach for it, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. That's our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. We have pictures of a chicken in Thailand who appears to have had its head, it looks like it was bitten off by another animal. The chicken is still alive, still walking.
That's not
and it's
possible.
Been 9 days. Well,
obviously a chicken doesn't have a brain
no
to control
longer.
The rest
but
of
here's,
the body.
But here's what these pictures are bizarre. The chicken, there's a stump where a head should be. The thing can't balk. It's being fed because they're sort of pushing food down its neck.
Sounds like you're feeding a wood chipper. They're stuffing food down his neck.
And
there's
apparently
no
the tongue, its tongue is still there, but vets are worried that the tongue could dry up soon and fall off.
But
because I'm a historian and I love research, there was a chicken in 1945.
Yes.
His name was Mike.
No.
Mike the chicken. The farmer who owned it chopped off Mike's head. They were going to have the chicken for dinner, and Mike lived. Really? Mike lived for 18 months without its head.
You know, Mike was quoted as saying, I feel a little lightheaded.
That's cute. There's actually a picture. You can see this online, too. There is Mike without its head, but they did put its head by its feet. Mike lived for 18 months because apparently when the farmer went to cut off the head, the farmer missed the jugular vein, leaving most of the brain stem intact.
Enough of the details.
And if the brain stem is intact, the chicken can still walk. It can't go bawk, bawk, but it can go walk, walk.
Time's up. That's it. No more. All right, go look at this bizarre headless chicken.
You have spent way too much time this morning.
This is the most bizarre story of the month.
Researching this. You could have researched
Sleepy
something
Hollow.
Else.
Sleepy Hollow and the Tales of the Headless Chicken.
The Headless Chicken, there you are.
How about this dopey thing? I mean, Natalie, you always discuss diet and eating sensibly.
Yes, I try.
Well, how about this tooth-mounted sensor? Ew. They've come up with this. You can mount this little digital tooth-mounted sensor. A miniaturized sensor. It's been developed at Tufts University, and the small device will track everything you consume, including glucose, salt, and alcohol, and then transmit the data wirelessly to a mobile device.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because a lot of people who have diabetes have to deal with this, and people who have insulin pumps, they do have ways that it can detect your blood sugar and send it right off to a digital device, which is great. But this seems to be one less, you know, it's not as invasive as, and some people aren't diabetic, but still need to know what their levels are. It's very interesting because people first are never honest when they say log everything you're doing. They're not telling every single thing they ate, or you're not exactly sure what you ate. So this might be a really good way for people who have medical issues.
Okay. I'll buy it. You buy it, Riedel?
I buy it. Oh, breaking news here. I have found out how the chicken lost its head.
Trying to get to
you
the other
really?
Side?
Yes. Alice Cooper bit it off.
Oh.
What else you got over there?
You're cracking yourself up.
I love that. Hey, now here's a nice story. New Yorkers can't get enough of dogs. We had the American Kennel Club announced on Wednesday that for the fourth year in a row, The diminutive French Bulldog was the most popular breed here in the Big Apple, and the French Bulldog is number one for New Yorkers. You want a dog?
No. Happy to hear that. How about this?
I've got some more chicken news, Len.
Yeah, great. How about this brewery in Colorado? It's the Blue Moon Brewer is launching marijuana-infused beer.
Oh, now that sounds
appealing.
That does sound good.
The drinks serve chili and chilled, initially only available in Colorado, of course, where marijuana is legal.
Yes.
Contain no alcohol.
No, what? No alcohol?
No alcohol.
Just weed?
Yes. Instead, be infused with special marijuana formulas designed to mimic the effects of booze. The developers say the drink will hit the user at the same pace as if they were drinking a beer. Well, what? Now, what's the purpose of that?
I know. I'd just rather have a beer with some alcohol in it.
Yeah, why do you have to go to all this?
Well, I don't know. Marijuana-infused beer, but it doesn't have any alcohol in it.
That's what they're saying. The Blue Moon Brewery, available this fall in Colorado. All right.
Not
speaking
for me.
Of beer, we're going out to the ball game. You can get a beer out at a Citi Field.
I'm going to.
Opening day has arrived. The fans excited. We'll be checking in with WOR's Alice Stockton-Rosini with the fans at Citi Field when we return. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 10:05 right here on 710 WOR. Let's check out traffic, Bernie Viter.
First, live from Tribeca,
this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody, at 9:54 on Mets opening day. Just for tomorrow, Len, we have lined up a good friend of mine, Tim Rice, who wrote the lyrics to Jesus Christ Superstar.
Wow.
Great Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice musical, and that's going to be broadcast live on NBC Sunday night. I will be there myself, so I'll bring you a full report on Monday. But Tim Rice, who also wrote The Lion King and Evita, he is going to be with us tomorrow to talk about
Super.
Jesus Christ Superstar. Very clever of you, Len.
Super duper. No, that's great.
Super duper.
No, I wasn't trying to be a wise guy. You had this wonderful story a few minutes ago about a chicken in Thailand that's surviving without a head.
Yes, it's still alive.
Because another animal bit its head off, but it's running around.
Alice Cooper.
And they feed the chicken by shoving stuff down its...
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, we got a tweet. You can always tweet us at the show here. At Len Michael WOR. Fish Fry tweeted us. That's his handle. Fish Fry says, and no, he's right here.
Yeah, okay.
How about a little compassion for living things like a chicken? So I think he's upset with you, Riedel.
Why?
Have a little compassion.
Listen, the chicken
You're making fun of the chicken, the headless chicken.
The chicken, Len, has bucked the odds. What are the odds of having your head cut off and you still running?
Yeah.
By the way, Len, how long have you been doing the show without your head?
Well, it's going on. It's the fourth year now, right?
this chicken is doing better than the one I cooked in my Instapot last night.
That's true, too. This one's alive.
I love room for this chicken. Come on, Mike the Chicken survived 18 months in 1945 without a head. Let's hope this chicken from Thailand can beat that headless record.
Where was Mike the Chicken that survived?
He was in somewhere in the Midwest, I think, in Kansas or something like that. He survived. Yeah. So there we are. Hey, let us check in with someone who always keeps her head on her shoulders. Alice Stockton Rossini is there in Citi Field, getting ready for the opening day. Alice, what's the excitement level?
Listen, I'm at the south parking lot with the 7-line tailgaters. This bunch, let me tell you, they are partying up. We got like 5 girls down here. We got macaroni and cheese. We got chicken. We got lobster. We got steak. We got kielbasa. We got people flying in from Albany, Ithaca, Australia, one guy from California. These people get together and they are partying it up and they are all hoping for a win today in honor of Rusty Staub, man. It's all about him. They are saluting him. They are drinking to him. They are raising their glasses. Beer and wine is flowing. I hope they can make it through the day. It's raining, but I don't think anybody can feel a thing here right now.
Are you imbibing, Alice? Are you imbibing?
No.
Hey, Alice.
Like that kind of girl. Give me a break.
Did you actually say mascaroni and cheese?
I think she did.
Mascaroni and cheese. Did you make the mascaroni and cheese? Say hi to Len. Say hi to Len Berman.
How's it going, Len?
Hey, guys. The 7-line is awesome. Are you guys all in orange again today?
To the field, I made the macaroni and cheese.
The mezzaroni and cheese?
Mezzaroni and cheese.
Mezzaroni and cheese, absolutely.
Can you save some for us when we get out there?
It's about 6 pounds of macaroni and all the cheese you could possibly I grow into it. We're a little bit of skin. All that healthy stuff.
All right, you guys psyched for the season? The 7 line? They're great fans, Michael, the 7 line.
Yeah,
we're psyched for the season. Let's go Mets.
All right. Thanks, pal. Enjoy your Metzeroni and cheese. Let me have Alice back for a second.
Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Alice,
enjoy the game.
Take that Metzeroni and cheese out of your mouth and talk to us.
No, but you'll see, Michael. You'll see they'll be out in center field. And,
I know.
And
I'm looking forward to it.
They'll all be in orange. It'll be a great thing. Now, Alice, did you want me to play this little soundbite you came up with?
Could you? If you want to. It really doesn't matter. But go for it, man.
It's a holiday?
Yes, it's a national holiday.
Is it now?
Absolutely. All baseball teams are playing today. First time in 50 years that every baseball team plays on opening day.
That's worth drinking a beer at 9 a.m., right?
Or champagne.
Champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Mimosa.
A little bit of a lemonade and some Moscato, some deliciousness, yes.
So your boss knows you're here?
Absolutely. When I put the request in, he goes, March, what's going on in March? And he goes, oh, opening day's earlier this year. Okay, have fun. I'll see you Friday.
Alice, all 30 teams were scheduled to play for the first time on opening day, but they already rained out in Cincinnati. So, all right, technically 28.
She's passing out Jello shots right now.
Give her the news. Have fun, Alice. Enjoy.
See you guys.
All right.
We'll see you out there, Alice.
So we're on our way.
We are on our way. We will be there at the WOR booth, right? Where is it located, Len? People can stop by and say hello.
Yeah, stop by. We'll be on with Pete McCarthy, Michael, and I at 11:45-ish. And as you get off the subway, the 7 line or the Long Island Railroad, we'll be on the left. We have the WOR booth that's up there throughout the season. Please stop by, say hi, take a picture of Michael. If you don't know what he looks like.
Len's the guy without his head.
And that's going to do it. So I'm looking forward. We'll be out there opening day. It should be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun. We'll see you out there at Citi Field. Hey, did you miss anything today? You can check out 710WOR.com/Len and Michael, where you can see the chicken without the head on. My favorite weird story of the day. That's on our website. Coming up next is Mark Simone, and your chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 10 o'clock news. But let's leave with memories of Rusty Staub and Terry Cashman's tribute to the great Rusty Staub. And then